Hey everybody, we are officially recording now. So how y'all doing? This is episode, I forgot to check, I think it's 31 of the podcast, The Drop Set. So thank you for joining me here. It is Friday, it's not Wednesday. The usual time is Wednesday around like noon, and now it's Friday instead. What happened, Darren? Are you totally off your game? What's going on? Yeah, I mean a little bit. So Wednesday was kind of a crazy day. I ended up I took the closest thing I've had to a vacation in a long time, in that I, the wife and I went to Asheville on Wednesday night for a concert and stayed the night in Asheville and then came back on Thursday. So I still worked a full day Wednesday and a full day Thursday, but I got out of town and stayed the night somewhere else. So it's kind of a vacation, right? I don't know. It counts. Anyway, I saw Dream Theater in Asheville, so total geek, that was my game. So I was thrilled with that. I'd seen them before, and this was like the third to last show of their tour. They rarely come around these parts. They've been on the road for 2 years, but they spent a lot of time in Europe and Japan, so it was great. Great to see them. So anyway, here we are. I'm doing the live Instagram feed. So hey, everybody there. Hello. So I don't know. We got a lot to cover here, and I'm going to cut through the fluff for the most part here. So we've got one topic to discuss. It's an interesting one. It's going to, some people aren't going to want to hear about it. Some people might really want to hear about it, but we're just going to talk about it. So what is it? I will tell you in a moment. So recapping the week that was previously, the big thing that happened this week, if we can call it big, is I did have a YouTube video that went up. This was explaining the different competitive divisions available for women. So talking about bikini, figure, physique, even touching on fitness and bodybuilding, and I refer to those as the dinosaur divisions, just because they are kind of, you know, they're not extinct, but they're heading that way. So, or are they? I don't know. I'm really washed out in that video. I'm sorry, Instagram. I look like a ghost, but it's just because of this giant window over here. If you can see this, does that work? Yeah. So this giant window here is, you know, around 11 o'clock is when it gets the worst. Usually that's the time when I have to take a break because the sun's coming through. I don't have curtains there or anything. It's just blinding. So that video that went up was the big thing that happened for this week. I've gotten a lot of good feedback on that. I'll be writing another one this weekend and shooting that on Monday, editing and posting that on Tuesday. That is the new routine. So anyway, I don't really have much else that I want to discuss as far as lead-in stuff. Sometimes I find, like, you know, if people are tuning into a podcast to hear a specific topic, then I feel like I'm just testing their patience to kind of see if they can survive and wade through all the big stuff, like, or all the junky stuff, like, hey, how was your week, Darren? Nobody cares, so we're gonna move on. So and if you do care, great, tell me, and I will be happy to waste everybody's time and give you all kinds of stories about everything. So but not this week. So what is the topic this week? This is a topic that and like I said, it's gonna rub a lot of people the wrong way. A lot of people just don't even want to talk about it, but we are going to acknowledge the elephant in the room, and that is drugs and bodybuilding. So it's not quite like, you know, baseball and apple pie. That's not super American, but when you're talking about bodybuilding on the competitive level, or even, you know, for non-competitors, for sure, especially at the higher level, though, the higher level of competitive bodybuilding, it comes with the territory. I think avoiding this is stupid. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it because it is kind of taboo. It is frowned upon. It is largely illegal. So there's a whole lot of reasons to avoid it. But you know, I think ignorance just breeds ignorance. And so we're going to talk about it. We're just going to go in depth on it and kind of dive in here. So the first thing, and I've got my my trusty iPad over here, da, 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 with my outline on it. So the first thing on the outline is a giant, big, fat disclaimer. So, yes, most of this stuff is illegal. And I'm talking specifically to people in the United States here. In other countries, there are different laws for sure. But in the United States, most of the things that we're going to be talking about here are classified as controlled substances, meaning you do not want to get busted with this stuff. It's bad news bears. The good news is, you're not likely going to, unless you're A, really stupid, or B, if you're distributing. So you know, it's not like it's not like the cops are going to come bust a guy who's got a joint and throw him in jail for 10 years. You know, it's not anything like that. I mean, you've got to really draw some attention to yourself if you're going to get busted for this, or just be really stupid. So it is illegal. Anything that I say here should not be interpreted as me condoning this or endorsing it. The risks are very real. The consequences of abuse or misuse are very real as well. But I've worked with a lot of people who have jumped into this before they started working with me without knowing what they were doing. And then they, you know, didn't do it properly. They didn't come off of it properly. They've completely screwed their bodies up. And, you know, all that stuff is fixable. But basically, it's one of those things where it's kind of like buying a house. I don't know if anybody has ever equated steroid use and home ownership, but I just did it right here. So, in that you don't just go and you're like, all right, I've got a big wad of money. I want that house right there. I'm going to buy that. I mean, you do your research, you dig in, there's a lot of stuff to know about. And you know, if anybody just comes to me and says, hey, I want to jump on some stuff, what should I do? The first thing I'm going to tell you is you need to read. You need to read a lot of stuff. Here's some stuff that you should read on. Don't trust me. I mean, do trust me, but don't trust me exclusively. Get some knowledge of your own, read some stuff. You're going to read a lot of stuff that may be a little suspect, maybe of questionable authenticity. The thing about this is a lot of these compounds, a lot of them are, you know, not necessarily tested in a clinical sense for these purposes. So, a lot of what you'd be relying on is anecdotal evidence, and there's some good of that out there. There's some bad of that out there. So, now let's see. Another discussion here is that of natural bodybuilding. So, if you are a natural bodybuilder, meaning you are not using any kind of chemical enhancements, no performance enhancing drugs, no substances of any kind, and you want to take a little something to give you an edge and still compete as a natural bodybuilder, you are a piece of shit. So don't do that. That is, you know, if you're looking to cheat the system and gain a competitive advantage, no, don't do it. That is lousy. Do not be that person, because everybody will hate you and everybody will have a great reason to hate you because you're a scum. So don't cheat the system. Follow the rules. Now, there are a lot of people that I work with, you know, I'll be frank. Most of the people that I work with are natural, not all of them. And by natural, I just mean not using any substances like this. So, but certainly I do work with a lot of enhanced athletes as well. So, one thing that I am fairly careful to do is, yeah, I mean, whether you're on something or not is nobody else's business. You know, I mean, as a coach, I need to know for sure, because it would change the way that we program things and how we handle things a little bit. I need to know, but it's not anybody else's business. So it's not my job to go out and, you know, on social media parade the success of a client who is, you know, all natural and say, blah, 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 all natty. Yeah. Because the implication then is if I'm not saying that, that somebody else isn't. So for my clients, I take their privacy concerns very seriously. And that means that does impact how I will report on other clients as well. So I don't want people to draw inferences like that or anything. Now, if somebody does a natural show and they're a client of mine, you can bet your ass they're a natural athlete. I'm not going to put them in a show where they've been using stuff and then try to beat some kind of a drug test. That's just not something that I do and not something I would ever consider. So if you are if it's something that you're considering, jumping on this and going the enhanced route, it is important that you do your research. It's a big decision. It really is. Not like, you know, your life will never be the same or anything like that. Like, wow, you know, do I cut off my arm or what? You know, I mean, it's not like that, you know, but still, there are very real things that happen as a result of this. So it's got to be something that you want to commit to, and you have to have done your research. You have to be well-informed going into it. I don't push anybody there. You know, I don't even bring it up for the most part with my clients. If somebody says, Darren, I will do anything to put on some muscle or lean out faster, I'm like, well, if you really mean anything, here's something that could be done. And then I might outline a couple of different protocols. I'm like, just keep in mind, you said anything, and so this falls into the category of anything. I'm not pushing you in that direction. Just know it's an option, then we can talk about it. But a lot of coaches, and I've heard stories of people like, hey, I signed up to work with a coach and they immediately told me that I have to be taking clenbuterol and T3 and they told me to find some Anavar. And I was like, did they even have a discussion with you? Or is that just like the standard welcome kit for all their new clients? Like, we're going to start pushing these drugs on you. So that's not how I work. Like I said, I don't even initiate that with clients. I leave it up to them, to tell me that it's something that they're interested in. You do have to understand as much as you possibly can before you jump into something like this. So one of the big questions that I get from a lot of people, and I think a lot of it just comes down to self-doubt, et cetera, is they want to know if somebody else that they've seen on social media is on something. So, Darren, what do you think they're taking? I'm like, well, I could talk about that for a long time. And, you know, there's a certain, you know, amount of science that goes into making determinations like that and just kind of, you know, checking from afar, looking for signs, et cetera. But what it gets down to is you're trying to justify a rate of progress that you're not happy with in yourself and just say, oh, okay, well, if somebody's doing better, then clearly they're just on stuff that I'm not. So they have an unfair advantage. So that makes me feel better about myself. I'm okay. What I would say is if you find yourself playing that game and you find somebody and you wonder if they're on something, just assume that they're not and assume that they're just working harder than you and then aim to outwork them. Because whether you're on something or not, that doesn't change the amount of work that you have to put in. It does potentially have an impact on how easily change can come, or, you know, what it can raise the ceiling on how far you can take things, but the work is still essential. And, you know, whether you're natural or not, my thing is going to be to always make you, always push you to work harder. So that doesn't change. So always assume that everybody else is outworking you and you've got to step up your game, because more or less that is true. I don't care how hard you're working, you can always work harder. Some of my best clients, and I'm not naming names here, not pointing anybody out, but a lot of people have come to me and said, hey, I saw your client such and such. You know, I really want to look like them. What kind of stuff do I have to take in order to do that? And invariably, you know, the people that they're talking about are natural. So, I mean, a lot of it is genetic. A lot of it is hard work, work ethic, and that kind of stuff. Good planning, I will say, to toot my own horn, goes into that to some extent as well. But just don't make the assumption that if somebody looks a certain way, that they have to be on something that you're not. One thing that I would say, just if you're going to try and, you know, do a little bit of assumption checking on your own part on somebody else, like, are they on stuff? See, look back and see what kind of stuff that they've posted going back a year or two or three. The one surefire sign is if somebody has just a completely unreasonable amount of growth over the course of like a year or so, there's probably a good chance that they found the juice box. So that's a big one. And also if somebody says, and this is, you know, I don't want to dig too deep into the weeds here, but if somebody says that they're in prep and they are leaning out and they're dropping body fat and they're like, it's clear that you can see that in their photos, but the scale is still staying the same, that is not a natural athlete. So if you are trained, a trained athlete, so somebody who is not just starting out, but you've been doing this for a long time and you're dropping body fat, you will be dropping pounds on the scale as well. Those two things go hand in hand. You can't be dropping body fat and losing and gaining an appreciable amount of muscle that would cause that those numbers to offset and have the scale stay the same. So if somebody's like, I'm leaning out, the scale staying the same, you can say, all right, that is just basically an admission that you're on something. So cool. Great. So let's see. I already talked about, I jumped ahead of my own outline here, natural versus untested shows. Don't be a scum. Don't try to beat the system. But also know, Rose on Instagram says, juice at my gym is as common as a pre-workout. Yes, it can be. And that is one thing to know, is that this is way more common than a lot of people think. So, you know, if you're like, oh, there's no way so-and-so could be taking this stuff. I mean, anything is possible. Anything is possible. So I mentioned, don't be a scumbag. Don't try to beat the system. But also, if you're going to be doing a natural show, take a look at the banned substances list. If they don't have one, they do. You just haven't found it. If they don't have it posted, that is their bad. Email them and ask for it. Because, you know, some may say, I've seen things that are like, you know, that ban over-the-counter products as well, just because they don't like some of the ingredients that are in them or what. So, and then some of them are like, oh yeah, we're just testing for anabolics. You can take pro hormones. That's fine. So I think that's kind of weird, but okay, whatever. But look at the banned substance list and just see what's on there, see what you have to avoid. So we're going to break this down into a few categories here. So there are all kinds of products that could, you know, potentially, Zigfit on Instagram. Big question is, where does one go shopping? Yeah, I don't think you're going to find this stuff at Target. Probably not Vitamin Shop either, but I will actually get to that towards the end here. Is that a teaser? That me making you unfairly stay around? Maybe, but just know that this live stream will be available on YouTube later, and also the audio version will be on iTunes, Google Play, and on my website as well. So, and you can watch the story later on for Instagram too, but I don't want to give away any spoilers yet. That being said, I will not be giving you sources or anything, but I can tell you kind of what to look for and what to avoid. So breaking it down into a few categories, because there are all kinds of different products here that could potentially disqualify you from being a natty, so to speak. So the first one would be over-the-counter products, and these are things like testosterone boosters, etc. Now, most of these, you know, guys will take things like Tribulus terrestris, etc. There and other natural testosterone boosters, a lot of natural organizations are fine with this just because it's something you can buy. It's just an herb basically. So cool. That's fine. What are you getting out of that? Not much, not much. So if you're looking for a test boost, a testosterone boost, in order for it to be effective, it has to be an order of magnitude increase. And these are going to give you a few percentage points increase. So yes, your testosterone will be higher, but it's not going to be higher enough for it to actually give you any kind of an appreciable advantage. So these products are fairly worthless. They are also relatively safe, but at the same time, you're not going to get a lot out of them. So in general, and you know, when I tell people this about supplements, it sounds kind of cynical, but I also do tend to believe in this, is if you can buy it over the counter, it's probably not worth a whole lot. So all the stuff that's really going to make a big difference, they don't sell it in stores. So now the one exception to that, or two actual exceptions to that, would be the next two categories. The first one of those categories would be pro hormones. So lots of different products here. These kind of exist in a legal gray area. So pro hormones typically are banned substances. And by banned, I mean, banned is not the right word. They are illegal substances, but they are typically made illegal on a compound by compound basis. And it's very easy to reformulate something so that it has a different chemical formula, and then you can sell it until the law catches up, and then you've got to change your formula again, et cetera. So, they can't just perform a blanket ban on a category of product. They have to call them out by specific compounds. So it is easier, or at least possible, for supplement manufacturers to stay ahead of the game. Now, the thing about pro hormones, and I'm talking about things like, you know, Super DMZ, things like that. You can also find some of these available in places like Complete Nutrition. I think I've actually seen them in Vitamin Shop as well. So these are commercially available products. You can order them online. They are technically legal, like I said, but kind of gray area. Like, it's legal now, but it might not be in a year, that kind of thing. The problem with these is that most of these are they have a very high degree of liver toxicity. So, and the problem there, of course, is, you know, you've only got one liver. So if you use it correctly, it's typically not a huge concern, because the liver, while we don't necessarily want to, you know, do something that actively harms our bodies, the liver is a fairly resilient organ. So any medication that you take has some degree, any oral medication has some degree of liver toxicity. So ibuprofen, aspirin, those are all metabolized by the liver. It's just that the level of toxicity is low enough that it's not a huge concern. So with most pro hormones, though, it is a much higher degree of toxicity. And so the issue becomes, you know, most of these you're good to run in like 4 week cycles, basically, and that's all as directed on the bottle. You run for 4 weeks, and then you do a post cycle therapy regimen, which is basically just, I mean, the thing that really matters there is, you know, get some liver support going so that your liver levels can return back to normal and it can stop being taxed so heavily trying to clear this medication through your system and metabolize it. So if you use it as directed, yeah, I mean, it's okay. Like I said, if you have a healthy liver, it is fairly resilient and it will recover from a short cycle like that. Now, if you're like, well, yeah, 4 weeks isn't really long enough, so I'm going to run it for 8. Okay, well, you're not using it as directed. You're going off label. You're being stupid. Also, that's very important. But that's where you start to run into problems with stuff like this, much, much bigger problems. Or you run it for 4 weeks and then you take 4 weeks off and then you jump right back on. They're not really designed to be run that way. So they are effective. They are definitely liver toxic, which is a problem. Less so if you use it as directed, but still it's something to be concerned about, especially if you have a predisposition towards liver conditions. And also the 4 week cycle, it's like just as you get going with it and you're starting to feel, then you've got to come off. So it 4 weeks on anything is, you know, it's kind of like a bleh, you know, I mean, it's like everything, it's like letting the air out of the balloon before you really get a chance to see it fly. So, for that reason, if somebody's like, you know, I want to experiment with some stuff, what do you think about pro hormones? And I will say, yeah, that's fine. But you'd probably be better off going with something that's, you know, a little bit more proper, not in the legal sense, because it wouldn't be, but as far as something a little bit more, you know, official as far as a PED is concerned. So the other thing about pro hormones is, you know, these are things that are not necessarily clinically tested. They come and go, you know, products come and go from this category pretty quickly. So there aren't any long-term studies done on these. So it's a little bit dicey in that area. Now another category, the next one up, which is similar to pro hormones in as far as how I recommend it and how it gets used. This is SARMs. SARM stands for Selective Androgen Receptor Modulator. So this is a product of category. And a lot of these are just liquid orals that you take. Some of them are certainly in pill form. But liquid oral, like you do an oral syringe, which is like the kind of thing that you give your medicine to your cat with. So you'll dose it up and then just, you know, right in your mouth, swallow it, and there you go. So still, you know, no needles or anything like that involved here. SARMs are new products in this category coming out all the time. There's all kinds of studies done on these. Nothing long term, not necessarily a whole lot done on humans either. These are generally best used as ancillary compounds. So I wouldn't necessarily tell somebody, okay, we're going to do a cycle and we're going to run this SARM and then that's it. Usually, and especially for guys, we would put together a more comprehensive anabolic cycle and then use maybe a SARM to supplement with. Now the cool things about these is, you know, a couple things. First of all, these have a very low degree or completely no liver toxicity, which is great. Also, a lot of SARMs are safe for women, which is cool as well, because when we start looking into other categories, I mean, pro hormones are out for women. A lot of the anabolics are out for women as well. So if you are of the fairer sex and if you're looking to take something to help you grow a little bit more, a SARM is, you know, it's not going to be like a rocket launcher. It's more of like a handgun. So you're not going to put on 30 pounds of muscle or anything like that. And, you know, even with anabolics, you wouldn't either. But it can give you a nice, subtle, effective boost in your ability to put on muscle. So a lot of people, and I read this on a lot of forums, is, you know, they believe so much in SARMs that they've stopped anabolics altogether and they just run a cycle completely based on SARMs. And that is... I hesitate to say it's dumb, but you don't see any top pros running cycles like that. That's pretty much the end of that discussion. So they are good for a little boost. They sometimes can be, I hate to say faked, but not necessarily what they claim to be. These are commercially available, so you can go to a company that sells research chemicals and just buy these online because, you know, you're doing research in your lab coat and with your glassware, et cetera, right? I mean, that's all what we all do when we buy research chemicals. So so that's another category worth investigating. SARMs, if you haven't heard of those, just do a little bit of research, look them up. There's all kinds of them out there. There's a lot. So that could probably be worth a category of its own. And then the big category here is then the anabolic compounds. And we'll talk about some related ancillaries as well. So these are things that people would actually classify as steroids. So if you are taking a SARM, you're not taking a steroid. You're taking a receptor modulator. So, you know, some people may say, well, you're really kind of splitting hairs there. Well, no, I mean, a steroid is, you know, it's an anabolic androgenic steroidal compound. That is the definition. So these can be taken two ways, orals, which are typically going to be tablets or capsules, or injectables. And I think we all know what that is. So examples of some of these. So injectables, clearly testosterone is the first one. So when somebody is taking testosterone replacement therapy, which this is the one area where this can be legal, is you can have a prescription for testosterone from some kind of hormone therapy clinic, anti-aging clinic, etc. May not be for the prescription that you, or may not be a prescription for the dosage that you want to run, but you can have a prescription nonetheless, and you can get some pharmaceutical grade testosterone. So that's the big one. Also Equipoise, Trenbolone, Deca, Masteron, Sustanon, Primobol, and there's a whole litany of these things. They are available in different esters as well, which just refers to how long the compound stays in your system, what the half-life of it is. So these can be acetate, enanthate, cypionate, plenty others. I'm drawing a blank there, but some of them are shorter and you would actually have to inject these like potentially daily or every other day. Some of them you're fine to do weekly or twice a week or something like that. Orals, these would be things like Dianabol, Turinabol, Winstrol, Anavar. There are plenty more available as well. These are typically going to have shorter half-lives. These are often things that you will take on a daily basis or maybe even twice daily. These also have varying degrees of liver toxicity as well. So anything that you take orally has the ability to have a degree of liver toxicity. So SARMs are not metabolized by the liver, so they get the exception there. But anabolic steroids that you take orally, absolutely. So keep in mind, and a lot of people will, you know, when I help somebody put together a cycle, we may leave orals out of it entirely, just because if somebody has any concerns about their liver, then great. You know, orals are typically not essential for a cycle. Some type of injectable for a guy specifically is, however. So cycle length, you know, you could run a cycle anywhere from 8 to 16 weeks or longer. You know, if you wanted to do a clean cut cycle, you could be on for, you know, 8, 12, 16 weeks and then cycle off completely, run post cycle therapy, and, you know, be, maybe it's just one and done. Like, okay, I ran my cycle. That's it. You know, it was fun. I don't want to keep it. I don't like needles. I don't want to keep doing that. Great. Okay. You can be on your way and fine with, you know, really, I would say if it was a responsible cycle, probably zero long-term side effects. Great. You could also do a blast and cruise. And if you are a high level competitor who's going down this route, that's fairly common. And blast and cruise would be, you'd do an aggressive blast for somewhere between 8, 12, you could potentially do it for 16 weeks as well. And then rather than coming off completely, you keep one compound in, and this is always going to be testosterone. You keep that in, you just run it at a much lower dose, let your body recover a little bit, do a little bit of post cycle work as well to help your hormone levels recover. Let your pancreas remember that it, you know, it's responsible for producing hormones, that kind of stuff, and then jump back in. So, a lot of competitors will favor that approach just because it gives them more time on cycle. And to be clear, also, when you cycle off completely, it's kind of a pain. It can be difficult for a lot of guys to manage that kind of stuff because there are certainly emotional swings that come with it. And you can see changes in your body that are not favorable that can kind of, you know, set you down a path towards like depression, etc. So we could have an entire discussion as well about cycle complexity, dosage, total dosage, per compound dosage. A lot of drugs have sweet spots as well as far as dosage per week. So I'll save that, but just know that typically people aren't going to write books about this stuff because I don't think too many publishers want to be associated with the topic, but entire books could certainly be written about dosing. And so you can find a lot of that stuff online. So now, let's see. Rose here on Instagram says, what's my opinion on Anavar and Cleanse Cycle? Researched and found conflicting info. If you're trying to lower fat, shouldn't take VAR and just stick to Cleanse, but have also found that they can be cycled together. Yes. So any anabolic steroid, of which Anavar is one, is designed for one purpose, and that is to help you build muscle. It is not going to help you shed fat. So that is the first thing to understand there. One thing that's kind of that was 1A. Now 1B is if you're at a caloric deficit, it will make you, I mean, to kind of simplify it a little bit, it will make you a little bit more bulletproof, meaning that you can push a little bit harder, be a little bit more aggressive on your deficit, get away with a little bit more cardio, and still preserve muscle. So that a compound like that is going to help you hold on to that while you cut. So it's not necessarily going to help you build muscle, especially if you're already trained, you've been doing this for some time. But if you're trying to grow, absolutely. Now, clenbuterol, not being an anabolic substance, at least not a steroid, it is a beta agonist would be the actual category for that. So if think like albuterol, which is the medication in an inhaler. So clenbuterol is in the same family of drugs. It's actually legal in Canada. It's like it's a legitimate medication in Canada. Here, it is not. You will never be prescribed clenbuterol in the United States. But that is absolutely, I mean, that is going to set your metabolism on fire, basically. and that is definitely going to help you lean out. So using the two of those together, you get the muscle preservation effects of Anavar, and then you get the fat burning effects of clenbuterol. So if you were trying to cut, that is kind of like, you know, I mentioned before, a lot of coaches will just, you know, write that up for a new client as like their, you know, default welcome package. Hey, you're a bikini or figure competitor. Here's your stack. Anavar, Clen, T3, those are the go-tos there. So, and they all do different things. So clenbuterol and T3 being thyroid hormone specifically, T3, T4 combo maybe, that is going to be a metabolic accelerant as well. You hear people who have depressed thyroid levels, your metabolism takes a hit, they'll prescribe that. And so if your thyroid levels are fine, you can supplement them and get a greater metabolic boost out of it. So you will burn more fat. There is a potential for, you know, messing up your normal thyroid production. But if you use it responsibly, the chances of that, well, I'm not going to say they're slim, but they're lessened for sure. Clenbuterol is a medication that has to be used. I'm not in Canada. It is a substance that has to be used intelligently and judiciously. You have to, it has to be cycled in an intelligent way, because certainly your receptors for clenbuterol get shut down after a time, and then you're taking it and just stops being effective. So typically something like a 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off protocol is good. And then also you have to be mindful of how much you run of that stuff in a calendar year, because it long-term usage of clenbuterol can be dangerous, because it will lead to ventricular hypertrophy, enlarging of the heart, which you don't want. Used responsibly, not so much a risk. Used irresponsibly can be a huge risk. So I know a lot of people who will run clenbuterol through their prep, and then they start to rebound after the show, and they're like, oh, I'm putting on weight faster than I want. So, should I jump back on the clenbuterol? And I'll say, absolutely not. Like Negan on The Walking Dead, I will shut that shit down. No. Do not do that. You do not run clenbuterol if you're not in contest prep. That is the end of it. That's the end of the discussion right there. So let's see. Rose adds in, judgment-free zone. Yes, it's like Planet Fitness, right? Tried VAR and felt like Superwoman, but noticed the scale go up. Wasn't on clen at the time. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you're taking Anavar. It is a steroid. So certainly if your calories aren't at a deficit, or potentially even if they are a little bit, you're going to see that scale go up. And, you know, keep in mind that is typically a good thing. Anavar is one of the compounds that, you know, for women is universally well handled. So others can be much more hit or miss. But it's typically well handled. It's considered a fairly lean or dry compound, meaning it's not going to force you to retain a lot of water, which is going to have you feeling uncomfortable, looking like a bloated pig or anything like that. So the gains that you'll get from that are pretty dry, which is good. That's what you want. And also it's just a very, low level of liver toxicity. So you can run that as a woman and cycle off of it. You may run it for 8 to 12 weeks, cycle off, give yourself a similar amount of time off, supplement with a little bit of, liver support medication, just some over the counter stuff like milk thistle, or you can get a more complex product that does a little bit more. Another thing here is, you know, it's a massive, massive pain in the ass for a lot of people, but it's really helpful to get your blood work checked if you're going to do this kind of stuff. For guys, not just to check your free or total testosterone levels before, during, or after cycle, but also check your liver, see how it's doing. You know, I mean, Zigfit says, boss came in, had to mute me. I don't take offense. That is okay. Dean says, talking about the subject, most won't. Thank you. Yes. I mean, I dilly-dallied about covering this for a long time, but I figured we kind of have to. A client asked me about it and said this would be a good thing to go over. So I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. So we're not going to shy away from it anymore. where was I going with that? Oh, the other thing to consider is, you know, we're talking about this now. This is episode 31 of this podcast, which just goes to show you that, yes, this is a fairly important part of bodybuilding for a lot of people. Certainly, it has nothing to do with bodybuilding for a lot of people. But just think about all the stuff that we have covered before this in this podcast. And it's not like everything happens in order of importance, but, you know, we made it a long ways. We've covered a lot of stuff without even really delving into this at all. So a lot of people think that this is an essential part of it. It's not. And the one mistake that a lot of people make is jumping into this realm too soon. If you learn how to train, learn how to diet, improve your work ethic, improve your intensity, and you kind of reach your potential as a natural athlete and then decide to make the jump into this realm, you're going to get so much more out of it. You know, I've worked with plenty of people for whom, I mean, they're living proof of that. So, okay, where were we here? Cycle length, cycle complexity, ancillary. So Rose had a good transition into this. She was asking about Clint. I talked about T3. The other ones, and this is where we really start to get into some dicey territory. So GH, growth hormone, that's another one. The thing about growth is you can run this long term. This is, I mean, it's a hormone that, like many of these, is naturally produced by the body. But you're taking it, you know, you're introducing exogenous growth hormone more than your body can produce. So this has the ability to help you put on some additional size, but it also keeps you leaner and tighter at the same time. So the issue with growth, if there is one, is if you use a lot of it, I mean, just, you know, when you're not at work and your boss isn't around, just go into Google and type in growth gut and click on images and see what you see. You're going to see some gross stuff. And I don't mean gross like something off the Surgery Channel, but just like, man, that dude looks pregnant, that kind of stuff. And you're going to see, like, you know, bodybuilders that, you know, have these giant guts. So that if there's any kind of concern about growth, that's one of the big ones, is just, you know, if you use a... You can see the sun is creeping in here. Like, blinded, I can't see anything. So running a high dose of that for a long time, certainly everything's going to grow, including your gut. So you've got to do a little bit to keep that in check. Running a lower dose is one of the first things you could do. The other issue with growth is it is damn expensive. So it ain't cheap. So if you want to run it long term, and especially if you want to run it at a higher dose, you got to be making some bank. So it is not inexpensive. And then the other one, and this is where a lot of people are going to say, "Whoa, Darren, you crossed the line talking about this," and that is insulin. So you know, if you are or know someone who is diabetic, then you understand what insulin is all about. It is a hormone that is produced by the body. We run into problems when the body doesn't produce enough of it, or, you know, the timing of it is messed up, etc. So insulin for high level bodybuilders can be a game changer, just because it is really the most anabolic hormone there is. It can also be an excellent fat storage hormone. It just depends upon the timing of it. So you know, even in diet for a natural athlete, what we're trying to do is kind of maximize your insulin production, control your blood sugar levels, your insulin sensitivity as well. So that's a lot of what I do with people with regards to the diet, is, you know, manipulate their carbs, the amount, the timing, to maximize their insulin sensitivity and insulin production post-workout. So if you take additional insulin, the issue there is, you know, you're typically not taking a small amount. Like, you know, you might take 10, 15, I've heard of people taking 30 units of insulin, and sometimes several times throughout the day. That gets to be a problem. And let me just be very clear here. Insulin is, of all the compounds that we've talked about and will talk about today, insulin is the only one that can kill you. It can kill you. So typically, it is really easy to avoid that. But nonetheless, stuff happens. People make mistakes. Sometimes people are just dumb. You know, it depends on a lot of factors. So sometimes, you know, trust me, I've worked with some people who just ain't good at math. And if you're not good at math, you need to have somebody double check your numbers on your insulin, because it's not just like, oh, I took, you know, more testosterone than I should have. Oh, shoot. It's like, oh, I took more insulin than I should have. I'm going into a hypoglycemic shock right now. I'm going to die. So there is certainly a higher risk with something like that. If you are smart and if you're on top of it with your diet, it's typically not too difficult to avoid dying, but it has happened. It certainly has happened. So just another thing to be mindful of. So, that one is actually less of a gray area. You can buy legitimate pharmaceutical insulin online, so, and have it shipped to you. In many states, you can walk right into a Walmart and buy it without a prescription, just because, you know, if somebody needs it, Walmart does not want to be responsible for making you come back with your prescription card and have somebody die because they couldn't do it. So in a lot of states, it's available without a prescription. So PCT, post-cycle therapy, we talked about that a little bit, the importance of blood work, the importance of giving your body a break, understanding what your natural hormone levels are supposed to be. If you're doing more of a blast and cruise approach where you don't really cycle off for an extended period of time, you don't cycle off completely, but just run much lower doses, it's still important to get your blood work checked just to make sure that everything is behaving as you would expect it to. And you should always either know yourself or have somebody in your corner, a coach or somebody who's doing your cycle maintenance, who can take a look at that and make sure that things look the way they're supposed to. Let's see. Oh, there was something else that I was going to talk about there, and I lost it. I lost it completely. What was it? We were talking about growth, insulin, and flutter away. It's gone. It's gone. All right, cool. It couldn't have been, as my mom tells me, if you don't remember it, it couldn't be that important. So one question that came up previously was, where do you buy this stuff? So if you Google, like, okay, I want to buy some Anavar. So you go to Google, you type buy Anavar online. Whatever comes up in that search result, do not buy it there, because that is fake crap. It is not real. It is not legit. You will not find a website that can come up in a Google search that's going to sell anything legitimate. So, There are plenty of, you know, for somebody who is diligent, there are plenty of sources out there that you can find. And what you'll want is to go to a place where, you know, people can discuss freely their experience with certain sources. So if you do a little bit of digging, you will find some stuff. Oftentimes you will find stuff that comes from China or Russia, which the issue there is those are packages that could be seized through customs, which usually the worst thing that happens there is your package doesn't get delivered. It's not like, you know, customs will seize a package and then say, oh, okay, send a squad over to so-and-so's house, because first of all, you don't have anything in your hands, so you know they can't do anything. They just don't want you to get it because it's, you know, illegal. So there's usually nothing bad that comes from that. And oftentimes, if you're working with a good source, they will have a reship policy where if something does get seized, they will send it again, which just tells you how much money they're making off of this stuff. If they can just, you know, if you have an order for $500 or $1,000 worth of stuff and it just gets seized by customs and they'll resend it for you, they ain't hurting. They're doing fine on business. There are also domestic sources available, whatever country you're in, likely, where you can place an order. Oftentimes these discussions are handled via email and then something will be shipped. Payment can be tricky to work out just because, you know, you're not going to be paying with a credit card or anything like that. So it's interesting. It's shady. You're relying on a lot of word of mouth reference for somebody else vouching for a particular source and, you know, how reputable they are and the quality of the product they have, because this is all stuff that, I mean, basically it's, you know, it's moonshine basically. It's being brewed up in somebody's bathtub somewhere. So all these underground labs, that's, you know, that's what most people are taking. If somebody says they're taking pharmaceutical grade stuff, chances are it's an underground lab that has slapped a pharmaceutical looking label on something. So unless you actually buy it from a pharmacy, it's not pharmaceutical grade. I'm sorry. It's just not. So just have a realistic expectation for what you might be getting into there. So I think that pretty much covers it. So I expect that of all of the discussions that we have had, this one may generate a little bit more discussion offline. So anybody who's got questions, et cetera, wants to know more, hit me up. I can recommend things to read. I can answer questions. So it's a touchy subject. I know that. And a lot of people, I know there are probably a lot of people at the beginning who are like, oh, he's talking about this. That doesn't concern me. I don't care. Or, you know, I'm offended by this or whatever. That's fine. You can be offended. I don't care. My goal is not to, you know, avoid offending people, but to educate people. I know that, you know, it's a big part of bodybuilding for a lot of people. And even if it's not for you, I think a lot of people are just curious to know, you know, what it's like, you know, for the people for whom it is a big part. You know, how does it change the game? So I think it's a discussion worth having. So I'm glad we had it. Thank you all on Instagram who stuck around and watched it on YouTube. Boy, I am really, this light is, it's killing me. It is absolutely killing me. So that's it. Just one topic today and we're done. We're right at the 45-minute mark, which is how long I want these things to be anyway. So it was almost like it was meant to be. So once again, I appreciate you being patient with me. For everybody who tuned in live on this Friday morning, thank you. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks as always. Leave a comment, like the video, share it with your friends, subscribe to the channel. All that stuff would be appreciated. And if you're listening via the audio-only format, iTunes, Google Play, or on the website, thanks. I appreciate it. So tell your friends. Tell your friends. Rose says, thanks for sharing. You're most welcome. I'm happy to do it. So leave your feedback however you're listening to this. Give me a comment. You know, leave a note in the Instagram story, whatever you like. I appreciate it. We'll be back, I think, probably usual time next week, Wednesday. Whether or not there's a live broadcast, maybe. It worked out well today. So I might. We took last week off from that. Might bring it back tomorrow, next week. So once again, thanks everybody who joined in. Part of the discussion. Good questions, good feedback there, and I look forward to whatever else comes from this as always. So other than that, everybody have a great week, and I will catch you all next week. Thanks.